Back here on the game, John, Tyler, Mitch, Haters and Ballers, Phil Steele edition at 5:10. We're going to talk here in a second about the Royals and the Major League Baseball draft. We're doing a show. Mitch is retweeting wrestling gossip there on the other side of the glass. So that's what's,
and my fact.
What's happening here. You already got a fact. I guess that Phil Steele segment was just real entertaining to open the show. You can tweet us at the game, KMAN. You can go see Mitch the Ford if you want to read about wrestling gossip. And you can call the show, 537-1350, toll-free, 866-776-1350. I probably should have said, going into this segment, if you're a millennial, you might want to turn the radio off. You probably will not be very interested.
I don't think millennials own radios.
They don't own radios. Well, they own cars. That's really the only thing tying us to any millennials, is that they own cars.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. Is the Major League Baseball draft not the least millennial thing you could ever possibly have?
Yeah, it's that's a good candidate right there.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. Not only is it a long, tedious process that's 40 rounds and just a bunch of names that nobody has heard of. You know, this is not like NFL, NBA drafts. They're going to be guys that you've heard of. There's some excitement there. It's shorter. Doesn't take as long. Major League Baseball draft, I guarantee you have not heard of virtually a single name that's going to go in the draft. Now, you know, K-State guy gets drafted. Okay, there might be an exception or two, but you don't know anybody. It's very long. And even if you are somehow able to generate some excitement for some of these guys, how long does it take before the payoff comes? You got to wait years. Millennials don't wait minutes. We don't wait minutes for anything. We're not going to wait 3 to 5 years to see if these guys are any good.
Yeah, it's right up there with like a phone that still has a cord. Least millennial thing.
Well, they might as well be. You know what? I may have to tune into MLB Network for a second. They always have all those tables set up, like with the different team representatives. I wonder if they do have corded phones.
I think they do. Yeah.
Sitting there on those tables. Well, that plays right into it. See, here's baseball's problem. We got to. They need to spice up the draft if you want some millennial interest here. I don't know how you would do that, but you're going to need to spice it up. First of all, ditch those phones. Ditch those phones. I think a good start would be that each team has to tweet their draft pick. So you don't actually announce it. You just put it out on the official team Twitter. That might be a little better than actually doing the phone thing.
I would incorporate Aaron Judge into it some way or another.
I mean, okay. What else is millennial that we could throw into the Major League Baseball draft? Mitch is not paying attention. He's looking at the computer screen. All right.
Well, looking at draft stuff, man.
Okay.
Trying to contribute here.
Getting primed for the Major League Baseball draft. Okay. All right. Fair enough. So I guess they have Mitch's attention. Mitch is a millennial. So I don't know. I didn't think about that aspect of it. I had the thought earlier today that the baseball draft is the least millennial thing ever, but I did not really come up with good ideas to fix that, make it more interesting. Here's one. If every draft pick not only was tweeted, but then the way that it was publicly announced was that the Migos would write like a verse about the draft pick. So you'd have Migos delivering every so maybe Future, Drake, perhaps, get Drake involved.
Head. How about every first-round draft pick is obligated to be on the 25-man roster of the team they're drafted by for the rest of the season?
So they would like have to play. That gives you some of the more immediate payout.
Right.
Yeah, that's better. That's better. I think we're on to something. We can workshop it.
Okay.
Maybe come back with a few more ideas. Dayton Moore obviously has done great things for the Royals. And don't take anything that I'm about to say as some real giant slam on him. But much as when we talked about Bill Snyder and the Corey Sutton saga, you can have somebody that is excellent at what they do, but not infallible. And the draft is actually an area where, surprisingly, if you go back and look at some of the history here recently, Dayton Moore has not been killing it in the draft. And he built a reputation, I think, with most fans. If you just ask the casual Royals fan, how good is Dayton Moore at drafting players and prospects? I would think most people still, their answer would be, well, he's great, because the homegrown guys really led the charge for the title that the Royals won. We think of Hosmer, Moustakas, Duffy, Salvador Perez, all guys that now Perez, you know, some of these, Yordano Ventura, not necessarily the draft, but going over and paying for guys that you're taking out of the Dominican Republic, et cetera. Okay, so there's some of that as well. But we just lump that all in. I think if you're thinking as a casual fan, it'd be like, well, Dayton Moore's been killing it in the draft. The Royals right now not only are struggling in general on the field, being in last place for most of the season this year, looking like they may be sellers here when it comes down to it at the trade deadline, but their farm system is in the bottom part of baseball right now. Baseball America had it in the most recent rankings I saw as the 26th best farm system in baseball. So it's not like there is a big group of prospects right on the cusp like there was when they were losing in 2009, 2010, and you were waiting for Haas, Moustakas, and those guys to come up. It's different right now. And a big part of that is because here's the draft picks from 2010 to 2013. So the guys that you would expect to be getting up to the big leagues now and really paying dividends: Christian Colon, Bubba Starling, Kyle Zimmer, Hunter Dozier. Christian Colon, well, providing some heroics, has never really been he's a borderline everyday player. That was really the peak of Christian Colon. Borderline everyday player. Not a star by any stretch. Bubba Starling, it does seem like he's figuring some things out, but he has had a long and troubled path through the minors. Kyle Zimmer has just been injured. Just way too injury prone to ever do anything. And Hunter Dozier, I think, is getting close, but then he just got hurt and he's on the shelf for a little while. So none of these guys have provided any dividends from 2010 to 2013, and that's what the Royals are missing right now, is just a handful, three, four, five real top-end prospects.
Now, sometimes when a prospect doesn't work out, it doesn't mean that you can just totally say, oh, man, that was a horrible read by the GM. Sometimes there is some just bad luck involved, and I would say that, like with Bubba Starling, if the Royals wouldn't have drafted Bubba Starling, fans would have been really angry. Like, fans were excited that the Royals managed to get Bubba Starling. And the fact that he's had so many issues and you know, his eyesight has been called into question with how poorly he's hit in the minors at times, that's not really, I would say, on Dayton Moore, because the projection was there that he was going to be a good player.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but this is a pretty bottom-line-oriented business.
Yeah,
I get that. I mean, this is not participation trophies.
Right.
Speaking of millennials, playing down in the you know, this is not like Little League Baseball here. This is the bigs, and you got to find a way to win, and you got to find a way to get these things right.
No, I agree that there are some big-time negatives on what the Royals have done in the draft. And, you know, there are all those lists out there about guys that were drafted after the Royals made their picks in respective years. Chris Sale, Francisco Lindor. I mean, the list goes on and on of players that right now are absolute superstars in the league, but no GM is batting 1,000 in the MLB draft, and I just think that Dayton Moore has had few more misses in the last 5 or 6 years than he did in the previous, you know, 3 or 4, and now it's just catching up to the Royals, because the real top end guys that they had, a lot of them went away when they went out and acquired you know, some of those trades that they did, Johnny Cueto, and et cetera, et cetera.
Now, that is true, and that's a fair caveat to throw in there. Sean Manaea has turned into a nice big league starter. They traded him for Ben Zobrist. We know about Brandon Finnegan. He's a guy that came up quickly. It was in that same stretch, you know, 2010 to 2014 area, because I think they did draft him in 14. He came up already, and they traded him off to the Reds. So that's been a part of it as well. And those were brilliant moves by Dayton Moore that nobody would take back for a second, because it won you a World Series. So I do think that's an important caveat to throw in there. But they have had their fair share of misses at the top end of the draft, and a big part of the reason that I bring it up is not just because it's timely and the draft starts tonight, but it's also because the whole narrative of this Royals season has been, will they or won't they sell at the deadline? And when you don't have as many top-end guys in the minors just waiting in the wings ready to go, that puts more pressure on you and more pressure on that type of decision as the deadline approaches, because they have to worry about restocking the fridge. Are you going to be able to get some minor league prospects that you can plug in to supplement the system? You would be more apt to go ahead and let these guys play it out, I think, and feel better about giving these guys a chance to play it out as the deadline gets closer and closer, if you had another crop of Mike Moustakas, Eric Hosmer, Danny Duffy sitting there in AA and AAA right now that you could rely on in the coming years.
I agree. And you hope that they can find a way to piece something together. One thing that's kind of weird to me is that even as their farm system has suffered in terms of the rankings and everything like that, the teams themselves are continuing to win, which is kind of strange. Like the Omaha Storm Chasers continue to be like the best team in their league, despite the fact that the Royals don't have that top end talent down there anymore. I don't know if that's like how well they're managed within their own, you know, system, but I always thought that there would be some correlation there, and with the Royals there doesn't seem to be right now.
Well, I'm no expert on all the minor league prospects and minor league baseball. I would not claim to be here. But I do know that just from reading guys like Rustin Dodd, Randy Gisserli, those that really follow this thing closely, the perception with the Royals farm system is depth-wise, depth really isn't the problem. Like, I think they have pretty good depth of okay prospects, guys that you can call up in a pinch and do all right. What they're lacking is just the 4 to 5 real high-end guys that are going to be in the Baseball America Top 100. So I think the explanation for that would be if you just have a depth of guys that have been around for a long time, veteran guys, you can still go win at that level, and it just doesn't really matter. But what they're missing are, you know, the guys that really draw the attention of baseball scouts. So hopefully at pick 14 tonight, the Royals get somebody who will pay dividends down the road. I mean, that's a tough thing. Tough thing about trying to talk about the draft right now. It's like you can start to talk about it and really break down a prospect or whatever, but I'm a millennial, and it's going to take 3 to 5 years probably to figure out what this guy is that the Royals are going to draft tonight, so that's not really the route I want to go with it. You know, I think you look back and say, where were the misses, and why is the farm system not stocked up right now? I got no time for it, man. Who cares who they pick it for?
Technically, their top prospect right now is Jorge Soler, who hit a walk-off grand slam yesterday.
Wake me up in 5 years. Haters and Ballers of 510, Phil Steele edition. When we come back, the internet stays undefeated. You're listening to The Game.